Good morning, Albuquerque. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. It's my job to tell you that Go Local Boom is sponsored by Rocketbox SEO. We want you to launch your business into a new dimension with Rocketbox search engine optimization and web design. Check us out online. My co-host Vincent Trujillo is in here this morning. We just had some awesome breakfast tacos, right?
Awesome breakfast tacos here downtown Albuquerque, John's Place, one of our favorite new burrito and breakfast taco places.
John's Place and Let Us Cater. Check us out on Facebook. We just tagged them so that we could talk about Yvette and how awesome she is. The thing that I love about forming relationships with local businesses is that those tacos weren't even on the menu. She knew what we wanted to eat based upon our nutrition preferences and said, well, I can throw you together a breakfast taco.
That's the great thing about local businesses like that. You know, you get support from somebody who is interested in making their local customers happy. We have breakfast tacos. Now we even have our own name. They're called the Go Local Boom Breakfast Taco.
I like that. I mean, maybe it's just an ego thing, but I like having my own menu item, and I like knowing the owner and being able to go in there and say, hey, check it out.
Oh, it's totally an ego thing, but they're delicious also.
It's pretty cool. So our first guest this morning, two guests, we've got Heather and Tony Ann from the Modified Dolls, the New Mexico chapter. Heather, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Tony Ann?
Good morning.
So tell us about the Modified Dolls. What's your mission statement?
Well, we are a group of modified women trying to raise the or delete the negative stereotypes with modifications. So we raise funds and we raise awareness in the community to show people that we have a lot more to offer and that we're not negative.
So describe or define what it means to be a modified woman.
Five or more visual tattoos or piercings. So if you have like a sleeve, that's considered enough. It's just more people get a little bit more negative impact if they have a lot more modifications than someone who just has a little butterfly on their...
Tattoos and piercings did not used to be as socially acceptable as they are nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they are. It's you know, we don't judge a book by its cover anymore. Back in the day, you know, tattoos were associated with, you know, well, first of all, veterans were mm-hmm. the ones that really, you know, soldiers and sailors and so on were the ones that had a lot of tattoos. Unfortunately, our soldiers and our veterans were not appreciated and respected back then the way that they are today, right? And so there was a negative connotation associated with that. Most people don't realize that motorcycle clubs were founded by veterans, you know, a brotherhood, a group of individuals who had a different experience than most people. And so tattoos then became associated with motorcycle gangs. So a lot of negative connotations came from that. But really, it was a cool thing that soldiers and veterans did.
Sailors originally,
mm-hmm. right, that did to symbolize or memorialize something that they experienced in terms of combat or their service to their country. So I'm pretty much covered in tattoos. I'd say 40% of my body is tattooed, but most of them are covered up, so I wouldn't count.
You couldn't be a modified
no.
doll.
I couldn't be a modified doll. So, okay, tell us, if anybody's listening, wants to get involved with you guys, how they can get in contact with you and how they would, you know, get if they wanted to volunteer or donate. Give us a little bit of information on how to connect with you.
Well, you can contact us on Facebook. We have, it's www.facebook.com/TMDNewMexico. And you can send us a message or you can apply at themodifieddolls.org and go under the Be a Doll link. And that's how you would apply with our main application because we have chapters across the country.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So yeah. You're one of a network of chapters throughout the country.
Correct.
And your guys, is, you know, your mission is to change the stereotype. If people, you know, don't appreciate tattoos and piercings, you want them to know we're good people. We support the community. We just want to be involved and make a difference, right?
Yes,
that's
definitely.
Pretty cool. And their phone number, 505-916-1863. If you guys want to call now or get involved, check them out on Facebook. They said TMD, the short for the Modified Dolls, at gmail.com. New Mexico TMD at gmail.com. What were you going to say?
And there's plenty of ways that people can get involved with your organization. Actually, you're accepting people who want to volunteer along with you. These are modified dolls themselves. They got to meet that criteria of the five modifications, which is the visible tattoos or modifications. But you also accept people who are want to donate a little bit to your organization, right, to help
yes,
raise
definitely.
Funds. And they can reach you at the same number there. And what I found is so interesting about your organization is that how you're raising awareness that the modified dolls are, you know, your community contributors. you're not bad people or this, you know, trying to break the stereotype, is you're helping for free and volunteering for organizations that you choose to work with.
Yes.
So nonprofits, other community organizations, also even some businesses, really, they get a hold of you, they get in touch with you. They can then request to get support on an event coming up or a drive that they're trying to do or pretty much anything. I mean, you'll even work with private citizens, you said, if there was like a funeral or something. So there's a lot of things that you support. Do you want to just tell us a few of the things you support and how that works?
As of right now, our next month, we have a charity that is assigned every month from our main chapter. And then we also work with local organizations here in town.
So let's clarify that a little bit. So the national chapter says, all right, we've got national organizations that we work with. One of those being the Boys and Girls Club. The in the month of August,
correct,
Boys and Girls Club is your assignment. And then you have to come up with your own local organizations to support as well.
We actually don't have to. Our main obligation is to do the main charity, but here in our chapter, we like to work with local organizations.
So you guys stay pretty busy either way.
Most definitely, all month. We don't have any time, pretty much. We're busy.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the way that we were introduced was, you know, my involvement with Paws and Stripes, and a friend of the community, Desiree Harden, she works with the street team at Archetype Tattoo. She works with another group, What are the other dolls called?
Duke City Darlings.
The Duke City Darlings, right? So there are other groups like this that, you know, all they want to do is help. And it's interesting that the Tattoo Party is one of our biggest fundraisers, but that's the deal. Archetype Tattoo gives us their space and all of their artists for a day and says, here, bring people in. We'll give them, you know, very inexpensive but awesome tattoos and donate all the proceeds back to the organization. So that's how we got involved, is Dez is one of those people. So I just love the fact that there's a network of awesome people in the community, you know, that are breaking the stereotypes and you know, contradicting the negative perspectives of people with tattoos and piercings, right?
Definitely.
It's a form of self-expression.
We actually have another form if you don't meet the requirements, because we want to be able to work with everyone.
We're going to get them tattooed and pierced?
Oh, well, you could do that too.
if you want to join
our volunteer base just by tattooing them and piercing them.
If you want to join and you don't meet the minimum criteria, I've got a tattoo gun and a place to go.
Nice. Well, we have a support group and a street team. So our supporters, they help us if you can join that area if you don't meet the criteria or you don't have the time to dedicate like all the dolls do. We volunteer our time all the time. And so some people don't have that. So the supporters, you can come and you can pick which event you come and support, or you can help us find other local organizations or get flyers out, et cetera. That would be a great way that you could help our organization and not have all the obligations as being a full doll.
So if you've got commitment issues, there are still plenty of ways to be involved, still plenty of ways to help.
Yes, definitely.
So I can definitely relate to that. I like to make connections and introductions.
And by the way, men can join that.
Don't have a ton of time to volunteer myself, but I know people. So
there you go.
We can always direct people your way.
Men can be a doll?
Well, you can be a supporter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So you have a group of support people around too who aren't necessarily dolls. So you just don't get the cool title and name.
Yeah, but you're a supporter. You're on.
What would that be called? Like a doll?
The Modified Dolls Support Team.
Ah, support team.
If I can't be called a doll while I'm volunteering, I don't think I'm going to be able to get involved.
There is a.
Can we call him like baby doll?
There's a funny joke about a Ken.
A Ken doll. Yeah.
Oh,
see,
Ken.
There you go.
We can
there
be
you
Ken
go.
Dolls?
Yep, that would be great.
The Albuquerque Ken dolls. I bet you could build that up pretty well. There's got to be some guys in the community that would like to get involved just because of the title. So you touched a little bit on other local organizations that you support because that is your preference. So you meet the requirements and criteria for the national, you know, chapters, right?
Yes.
But you also like to get involved with local. So what are your favorite charities now? What kind of stuff do you guys have coming down the schedule?
We really like working with the ARC of New Mexico because it is something I'll have Tony explain a little bit more of who they are because –
Tony D, who's the ARC?
The ARC is a group of that help out the disabled. They provide homes and get the disabled people to their jobs and provide them with a safe environment.
Oh, that's
smoother
wonderful.
Process.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a great organization. I've heard of the ARC. They're different than ARCA, right?
Correct. We work here with the local ARC.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we got introduced to them last year with doing a main charity, mm-hmm. but we worked local to make sure that the funds stayed here in the state.
That's pretty groovy. It's always good to support local organizations. That's what, you know, what we do on Go Local Boom, right, is bring local organizations together, for-profit or nonprofit, community groups or otherwise. We're going to have a couple more guests on the show this morning talking about just that. So it's pretty exciting to see, you know, how you guys do what you do. How did you get involved and become interested in doing what you do?
Ads on Facebook, to be honest. Back in 2011, I originally saw a post with the creator, who she's from Washington.
Okay.
And I said I had to get on board, so.
That's really cool.
I believe Tony saw an ad on Facebook as well.
I saw one in Facebook groups, and I was like, I'm modified. I can help out.
Yeah.
Let's get this going.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've been involved with, you know, some nonprofits in my time. And if it weren't for the volunteer support and the passion of those individuals, and it's crazy because we've got, let's say at Paws and Stripes, we had a 200-person volunteer portal, just a list of people that we're always sending out emails to and engaging, and we get about a 2% response rate.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Definitely.
It's the same 5 or 10 people at every event doing what they need to do to make this happen for us. And then there's that other 190 people on the list that tell all their friends about us and they say they're a volunteer and they do what they can do, but maybe their schedule doesn't line up with, you know, getting involved. So you guys need a lot of support, right?
Yes.
Tell us one more time again how to get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of us on Facebook. You can follow us even on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. We have a bunch of different ways. You can think of it, you can find us.
Modified Dolls of New Mexico, thank you so much for being here and for what you do for our community. Folks, you're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We're coming right back. Welcome back again to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We're lining up our second guest to get going here. It's been a pretty exciting morning so far, right? We started off talking about people who devote their free time to helping others in the community.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I love hearing about all the people out there that are doing things like that. We had the Modified Dolls on this morning, did a great job of explaining how they're trying to raise awareness and make it a little bit more accessible, break down some of the stereotypes when it comes to people who are modified, tattooed specifically, in their case, women.
Yep.
But I think it breaks down stereotypes for everybody. I feel kind of out of place. I feel like I'm being stereotyped when I'm in the booth. I have my Sean. We got Carlos Contreras from the Hispano Chamber coming up next. We had the Modified Dolls. I'm the only one not modified.
Tattoos. Yeah, exactly.
I'm the only one with no tattoos.
You have zero tattoos or
have none.
He's a blank canvas.
He's a blank canvas. Good morning, Carlos Contreras, Connections Curator, Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. That's a pretty groovy title, man.
Hey, anywhere I go, I make them let me pick my own title. That's just in the contract. No, it's not. And I get myself fired on the radio.
Carlos and I met the same way that I met the group from the Modified Dolls. Is it volunteer work, you know, fundraising, advocacy in the community for Paws and Stripes, of course. But Carlos does so many other things, man, some of which we can talk about in our next segment. But let's focus on the reason that you're here this morning. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce, one of our favorite businesses and connection points in the community. Go Local Boom is partnering with the Hispano Chamber the same way that we partnered with the ABQ West Chamber. Luis Hernandez is a good friend of ours, very outgoing guy, and his whole focus is connections, you know, in the community and within the chamber. Renee Tafoya, membership director over at the Hispano Chamber, you know, recruited you to come over here today and tell us about the chamber and what resources exist there. A lot of our audience are business owners and local consumers that maybe don't know about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. That's because they're busy running their business, right? We always talk about how the chamber serves an incredible purpose in the sense of creating business-to-business opportunities. So pinpointing days of the week, times of day, and creating opportunities on our campus or around town in small businesses for folks to network, to get together and talk about how they can work together. So sometimes that's large organizations or institutions, be it like a Sandia National Labs hosting a forum or a meeting about how they purchase soft services from other small businesses around town, right? So we try and create situations where people are working together to get more work and business done. So I always say the Chamber's in business of doing good business in Albuquerque.
And they do a great job of that. The Chamber, when I got involved in networking, immediately I saw the benefits of the resources there and said, well, you know, for me, nothing in half measure. So I'm going to become an ambassador, right? Like, why just show up to the events? I want to be, you know, at the forefront of what's going on, keep my finger on the pulse of the community. And the Chamber is the best, you know, way to be able to do that. And man, whether it's sometimes the smaller breakfasts, you know, that only have, you know, 20 businesses or so in there, we get to form, you know, closer connections and good relationships. And then there are, you know, Spring Fling and different, you know, business to business networking events, or they blow out the entire, you know, conference room at the casino or something to that effect.
Sure.
Those are great as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of great resources for businesses if you've got the time, right?
Right.
So tell us, if somebody is runs their own business, right, and they're a micro business, just moved out of their home or still working out of their home, what resources does the Chamber have for those individuals?
Well, the Chamber has some focuses, right? So I always like to talk about the Chamber in terms of a gym. It's kind of the thing that if you purchase a membership to it and engage in it, the more you engage in it, the better your business is going to do. So the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. So we create networking opportunities, right? But we also have classes. So we have Excel classes and Word classes. We have entrepreneurial mindset training programs, both in English and Spanish. We're about to start our second bilingual entrepreneurial training for small businesses. So,
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, September 2nd that starts.
So tell me about those entrepreneur classes.
So that's actually hosted by Dr. Marvin Lozano. Thank you very much. He's out there somewhere. Maybe he's listening. But it's all in Spanish. It's all for small business owners, Spanish-speaking small business owners. It's Tuesday nights, so it's actually after the workday in theory.
Mm-hmm.
Although we know some people's workday doesn't end at 5 o'clock, but right. If it does, it's from 6 to 8. It's a 4-week program. That's actually going to be free. So if you're interested in that, just give the Chamber a call. You can ask for Tino Zamora, and we'll get you some more information on that for sure.
So if you're English as a second language mm-hmm. business owner and you're attempting to make it in the market, plenty of resources there for you. Contact Tino at the Hispano Chamber. Now, is this for Spanish-speaking business owners only, or is there another resource that exists? Because when you describe entrepreneurial mindset, I'm all over that. Vince and I talk about this all the time, right? How do we get through certain obstacles in our mind or in our work ethic that prevent us from achieving as much success as possible?
Sure. So and there's a number of, so it's not only for Spanish-speaking businesses. The Hispanic Chamber is not only for Hispanic businesses either. We're open to all. We like to be highly inclusive in what we offer as programs and what we offer as community outreach and our support as somebody that supports business in Albuquerque or in all of New Mexico. Actually, we're a statewide chamber. So you have English opportunities to engage in classes just like that. We actually have Cultivating Coders on our campus right now. If you haven't heard about Cultivating Coders, you should know. They were South by Southwest's Tech Startup of the Year last year.
Who's the organizer there? What's his name?
It's Charles and Charles. There's two Charleses, and one of them's Charles Ashley. The other one, the other Charles, I'm forgetting your last name, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he may not be listening.
We just ran into Mr. Ashley at the Gold Street Cafe a couple of weeks ago and talked to him and loved the fact that they chose New Mexico as a market because what they want to do is support Native Americans who maybe don't have the same opportunities because they grew up on the reservation, right? Mm-hmm. But this is something that they can do from home. It's something that they can learn to do remotely. And New Mexico is a great market. They came from, where did they come from before? I think Washington or Oklahoma or something to that effect.
Yeah, there's another rural market that they're working in, and there's some interest outside of New Mexico in trying to pull cultivating coders into another state. So we're trying to keep Charles and Charles here, and we're doing that by keeping them on our campus right now and working towards a fully bilingual coding camp.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So right now it's taught with the focus in English, but there's some Spanish delivery. If you need it, we're going to get to it being fully bilingual at some point. ideally. So Charles and Charles are going to stick with us, and we're going to build
that
out.
And that's a super cool play on words, right? Because the Native American code talkers back in the day when it came to, you know, the U.S. military. So that's pretty cool because, again, their focus was predominantly, you know, Native Americans on the reservation. Mm-hmm. And so they're expanding that and offering it to others as well.
Yeah, and they've done Shiprock. They've done Farmington. Of course, they're here now. And then there's some plans to actually do some stuff in Texas. They're getting calls. That's the thing. They got called from the White House. If y'all keep an eye on Charles Ashley on Facebook, the White House has now invited Cultivating Coders to come out. So we're very happy that they're a chamber member and part of our campus.
You know, that's great, man. Charles, I got to meet him. We did need to follow up with him because he's such an interesting character, and I'm so glad that he's actually in here. We need more quality people doing the work that they're doing, like Charles here in our community. This is what I really liked about the Hispano Chamber, too. You know, there's so many. And when you just think about the networking opportunities, right, which every business owner needs to do, like you said, it's like a gym. You got to go. You got to work out there because you're providing the weights, which is the ways to connect with people. You got to go in there.
Well, they're providing the weights and the machines and the trainers, right? And and everything that you could possibly need to improve your business's health. You can find it, you know, with a membership to the chamber. And the cool thing is that the incentives come with your membership. It's not as though you have to buy upgrades, right? They're going to continue to upsell you and upcharge you. Now, if I wanted to buy a booth at a networking event, it makes sense that I would have to pay a fee for setup and so on.
Sure.
But other than that, there are so many resources that if you or someone on your team, right, have the ability to spend a little bit of time talking to somebody, you know, they'll get you trained up so that you can be in good shape and really perform, right?
Hey, he's a salesman. We should just hire you. We should hire you. No, but you hit it on the head because the reality of it is unless you're kind of a solo entrepreneur or a solopreneur, right? Solo business owner, you have somebody, even if you're too busy, that on your staff that you could invest in, right? So the idea in sales pitch in some ways is always you know, you have your executive or your owner or whoever that may be, and maybe the chamber isn't for them to directly engage, but it's for them to say, here, marketing director, here, admin folks, here, employees, here are some ways and access to professional development that I want to hand to you as a token and a tool for you to improve yourself because you improve my business by doing so.
Absolutely.
So that's an excellent point on that. So with networking opportunities, you got classes to help it. And that's a great way to network too, by the way. You go to classes, you meet other business owners, you find
that's
other connection
points.
Like minds.
Mm-hmm. You can find support for your own staff, right? So you get a sense and a staff member. You also do that. You have a little bit of a focus on events too, right? That's what one of your things is figuring out how to cross promote events.
Right. Yeah. And that's really in many ways been my focus coming in the chamber. I'm 90 days in. Connection curator is a fancy title for event coordinator. So the idea is to engage the business community and put as many businesses in one business as we can at different events, and then pull those people back through our doors with some signature events that we do every year. So we have a golf tournament on the 26th out at the Canyon Club that people can be part of. And then on the 31st, we have a thing at Rio Bravo Brewing. That's just a networking event, a 5:30 networking event.
We love Rio Bravo. We've had Denise and Randy and their daughter in here a couple of times, and they do a lot in the community for nonprofits. And for food trucks, man, they have really, you know, I don't know if most people understand the symbiotic relationship that, you know, breweries, all of the local craft brewers that we have here, most of them don't have kitchens, right? They want to focus on producing beer, you know, but they also really support local business the way that they've always got a food truck outside. So if you're hungry while you're hanging out at the bar, you can just go to the curb and grab a street taco. So Rio Bravo does a great job. What are you guys doing over there?
So we're doing a thing called Biz Gratis that starts at 5:30 and it ends at 7 o'clock. It's a mix and mingle. There's some food because of course there's alcohol involved, so we like everybody to drink responsibly and make sure they take care of themselves while they do so. Pass out business cards, win prizes. Denise and Randy will likely be there, talk a bit about their business to folks that are interested in how they got their start and what they're doing there. But it's a place to kind of come rub elbows and hang out with the business community in Albuquerque.
How often do you do the Biz Gratis?
Once a month.
Monthly.
Yeah.
Like the Biz Gratis is like its name sounds. It's free, right? It's open.
It is. It's completely open to the public. It's a place for us to thank our current members and also field interested folks for new memberships. So it's a way for us to show that, yes, when you engage in the chamber and you're investing in the chamber, part of it is your membership, and we want everybody, but we want our community to engage at large, right? So we don't want you to only be only those that pay to play can play. Yeah. We do so much that everybody's welcome at a lot of the events we do.
Well, and it goes to show that we are not a glum lot, you know, business owners, you know, professional people. We get to go out in the community, and I'm networking for my business, but I'm having a drink, I'm eating a taco, I'm meeting new people, you know. I know people that take dates to these things because they're like-minded entrepreneurs as well, and they're both professionals in their own field, and we're going to go do this because it's great for both of us, and we get to do it together. And so when I go somewhere like that, I bring the party with me. I tell 5 or 10 people that I'm going, let's all go there and get a good experience. And then if for some reason the room is dry or it's not, you know, really my energy, I've got people there that I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it all works out. It all works out pretty well. We've covered a few different local venues that the Hispano Chamber is involved in supporting and utilizing to support its members. Carlos, what other membership opportunities exist? Any specials or seasonal, you know, opportunities going on for new business?
Right on. So in December 9th, actually out at Isleta Casino, we're gonna have a Christmas market. So we're going to be kind of putting out a call to booths, to vendor booths, folks that are just promoting business, otherwise folks that are selling things, arts and crafts and other things for Christmas time. So that'll be a big deal, right? But the golf tournament, I think, is a huge one. And the reason why I think that's a huge one is because all the money we raise, we're trying to get $50,000 through the door, goes to education in New Mexico.
Tell us one more time, if we want to reach out and become a member, get involved, how we get a hold of you.
You can call 842-9003, ask for me, ask for Rebecca Sanchez, ask for anyone, we'll all help you.
And AHCNM, Albuquerque Hispano Chamber, New Mexico.org.
Exactly.
Online, check us out. Carlos, thanks for coming in. If you guys stick around, Carlos will be with us talking about community engagement and what we've got going on here in Albuquerque. You're listening to 1050 KTBL. This is Go Local Boom. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. It's difficult to listen to the music on the intro because I want to start singing when I know the lyrics, you know? We can't really do that.
Oh, I love it, man. I love hearing the music on. It can get you amped up for it.
Yeah, the first couple of times we did the show, we didn't have music, but our producer, Mike Vitale, does a great job in there. All right, so we promised you some awesome content in this third segment. Carlos from the Hispano Chamber Connections Curator is here with us. I've introduced him to a couple of people this morning, Vince, but the way that I introduced him is that I could spend 15 minutes telling you all the cool stuff this guy does. Carlos, why don't you tell us some of the cool stuff you do, and what made the chamber so excited to have you on their team?
Yeah, what's your background that gave kind of it, and what do you like doing in the community?
Sure, cool. You got 15 minutes?
We do, actually.
So I came to the chamber, it's only been about 90, it's actually been like 94 days. I had my 90-day review, so I'm officially part of the chamber too. But
congratulations.
Yeah, they let me keep the tie. But I came in the door 90 days ago, met them a good 6 months before I walked through the door at the chamber, because I was promoting and creating events, handling social media, and just logistically managing community coming through the doors of Tractor Brewing. I was a kind of a member and a mover and shaker in the brewing industry for 3 years by way of Tractor Brewing. So shout out to them. They're doing big things these days, and I really appreciate my time I spent with them there, because it created kind of a beast inside of me, and that was like this beast that's fed by the idea of community, engaging with community. So and what does that mean? That means like artists, small businesses working together, not always just for means of profit, but for awareness, for visibility, for real change in this city, right? I was born, and I always tell people I was born here and I'll die here. Just had a baby. She's 6 months old, so there's even more reason to make this a wonderful place to live, because now I have a kid that needs to live here and enjoy her life here. So I'm big on community engagement and art in the community. And so the chamber was like, I think we want that, right? Like, I think we want to figure out, as we move into the future, how we continue to engage our audience and our membership, because they are the largest Hispanic chamber in the United States. They're the biggest chamber in New Mexico. They were already supremely successful at what they were doing. They just wanted to add like a little piece to that, right? So I'm like this this fancy tattooed artistic piece of that.
Yeah, talk about progressive. That's exactly what I was going to touch on. My compliments to the Hispano Chamber for seeing the value, right? Because people could easily judge a book by its cover, tattooed to your fingertips, right? And talk with a little bit of swagger, and you're a younger, outgoing guy, and I love that. You and I have always gotten along so well and have that similar energy when it comes to being passionate about what we do. And I so respect and appreciate the fact that the Hispano Chamber saw the value in that and brought you on and made you a member of the team, because really what it does now gives you a larger platform to do what you do, the resources to do that, and to just grow as an individual. Like we were talking about in the last segment, you invest in your people and that will benefit your business. Even if your people outgrow your business and have to move on, or whatever the case may be, to do your job. If we're doing our job, we're investing in our people and we're making them as strong as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's just a tip of the hat in order to our CEO, Alex Romero, to our COO, Cynthia Jaramillo, for having that foresight, that thought, that vision, the idea that to not judge a book by its cover. Like you said, my mama does it and they didn't either, So it has nothing to do with, I think, the ink on my skin a lot of times, or the tie around my neck these days, and everything to do with, yep, with what I can bring to a business, to an institution, to the community. So I really respect and appreciate the fact that they felt the same way. And we're going to do some good work together. So it's all about what you can do for a community, not what you look like. And so they lead by example, though, right? So if, yep, you look at kind of the history of the chamber and the folks that are working there, there are a number of them with like 10 years plus. There are a number of them that have moved up, right, leveled up in their job positions. So they believe in building professionals within their ranks. And sometimes those professionals go on to even bigger things. Sometimes they stick around at the chamber and do incredible things for the city.
Well, it's a sign of the times right now, too. You can't just be stuck in the old ways of doing things. People are progressing now. There's social progression going on. There's also some great needs now. And I think that's one of the things that you're talking about a little bit, and I'd like to hear more about it, because it's something I'm interested in, too. They talk about how, and this is why we do Go Local Boom, because every community in the United States and around the world, actually, that's very successful as a community, economically, artistically, socially, they all have a lot of different ingredients. Those ingredients are they have a strong small business and entrepreneur community. They do. They have arts, music, and other artists, and they're being supported by the community for that. And that allows people who have a little bit more money to support arts. People are making money so they can reinvest it. It's a whole symbiotic relationship. But artists, and for me it's music as well as different types of other artists, are very important in the community. How do you see that transforming in Albuquerque? Because we have a lot of artists in New Mexico in general, and there's a lot of people who are like, hey, we're trying to reestablish economic growth in our state. How do you see the arts and business kind of in Albuquerque combining?
I see them as just at its foundation inseparable. I would like them to be viewed as inseparable. So when I'm given the opportunity and a microphone and the stage, I've been blessed by a couple of opportunities. Albuquerque Business First did a thing, reinventing Albuquerque 2.0. The chamber is doing a thing called YABQ, a number of phases. MyABQ did an Emerging Albuquerque Voices with panels about these topics, and every time I'm given a mic and asked that kind of question, I say that artists and art in Albuquerque is economic development.
Agreed.
Like get it in our heads. Let's believe it. Let's invest in it. Let's keep artists here and continue to invest in them. We're huge on tech and startup and those kind of things, and I think we need to continue to do that. But I feel like we need to continue to look for ways to invest in artists, whether they're individual visual artists, whether they're musicians and performing artists, whether they're just kind of these community characters that are a number of those things, poets that are, that are teachers and musicians and all of that rolled into one. How do we invest in those people and make them people that speak for our community and make it better, right?
Well, it's now up to us, because in the public school system, funding is being reduced across the board for arts and arts education and so on,
exactly,
and so forth. And it did. So again, not to overdo one topic, but the genius that the chamber thought, because when I see you, sir, I see somebody who is very dynamic, is very outgoing, and the fact that you're tattooed, that's the kind of book that I want to read, right? I understand, I can relate to that. And so are so many millennials, so many people in our community, so many people that are coming up, and they need dynamic role models or people that can motivate them and speak passionately about our community and what's going on. Otherwise, they won't know, right? They don't have other people around them necessarily, unless it's a strong, you know, theme in your family to be focused on arts and music and so on, and the history and the culture of your heritage, right? Mm-hmm. If our families aren't teaching us that, then we're not going to learn it at all. But even if they do, if our community doesn't create a forum for us to express that and to, you know, and to do what we love, then it's dead, right?
Absolutely.
It's going to die. And this is symbiotic with the reason that we do Go Local Boom, right? We provide these resources, an online business profile, an online directory for free. Any local business can have. They can come in on this show, talk about their business, two free advertising resources that they would have to pay for and that their competitors, the large box retailers and them, have to pay for. They don't have these resources, and we don't get paid to do it. We do it because we believe so much in the fact that the small business person in our community is our community, not just for sustainability, because if I spend a dollar at a local business, 70% of that dollar stays in my community. And if I don't, then 70% of that dollar leaves my community, but also because that small business owner has children in the schools, supports our local nonprofits, their taxes are going to pay for the city streets and the buses and whatever they have going on. They're the ones that are going to be in the community groups and forums speaking for or against things that are, you know, important in our community. And that's I really like the point that you made, because I believe that these things are so well connected that I feel like I didn't know about this. Vince has a lot of is responsible for educating me on a lot of this, even though I was very involved with the Chambers of Commerce, because I didn't realize that strategically picking Barilla's coffee instead of Starbucks does something for my community.
Sure.
Right? Strategically picking a local dry cleaner instead of a chain, it does something more for my community. And for that, I'm responsible. Now I know. Now it's our job to educate
Absolutely.
Everyone, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think artists are a bridge. They're a mouthpiece for that. They're kind of a catalyst and a conduit. They're a weaver of all of those things being fun and relatable and understandable, right? So when you can go into to an event like a Biz Gratis, and there's a painter in the corner painting, and there's beer flowing out of the taps that people made with their hands, and there's you know, there's when there's this handcrafted nature about things that's unignorable,
yeah.
Then we as a city will start to realize that it's all necessary to continue to do.
You know, actually, a Go Local Boom, and this is kind of nice that we're talking to Carlos here. Actually, this is something I've always wanted to include in Go Local Boom for years. We've talked about it before, Sean.
Community events calendar.
Well, that, but as well as how do we include, and I even thought like contests,
mm-hmm.
you know, so things where we can have like some social media drive a contest, whether it's poets, whether it's musicians, whether it's artists, whatever medium that they're performing in, and they can have a competition where they can win gigs at different businesses around town. And those, you know, that's a way that we can, as Go Local Boom, we're providing a directory that is only locally owned and operated businesses. And if we could have only their local artists and musicians and everyone on there, because I know it's hard to get gigs for artists, for musicians, for anybody to display their ability or their artistry, put it out there somewhere, whatever the medium that they're in. So I always wanted to figure out a way to connect that with In Go Local Boom with local businesses, where they could be like, hey, I don't know how to bring more people in. Oh, we just had a contest for this painter or this poet, and he had 150 likes on this particular contest. He won it, so he's going to get this gig, probably a paying gig, right? But at least, or free, whatever it works out to be. But now that business knows this guy had 150 likes.
Mm-hmm.
So this to win this contest, now he's going to come on to my business. He's probably going to bring 20, 30, 40 of those people in to spend money in my business to watch this guy play or do his art.
Yeah, it's a great design, and it hits things on the head like Sean's talking about, in the sense that, like, artists, I think, just kind of inherently and intrinsically spend their dollars here. So they get it. They spend their money at the coffee shops they play at and the bars they play at. So
it's the
easiest way to roll it around.
Such a circle of life that mm-hmm. we're describing. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't even thought about the fact that with the money that they're earning, they're also spending here.
Putting it back in.
Yeah.
Yep. I think artists a lot of times fall into that, like, artisan, you know,
yeah.
artisan community, where they feel, exactly. hey, you know, yeah, I'm unique. I have a unique perspective on life. I need to self-express in a certain way. So I'm not just rolling into Walmart to buy the tub of cheap-o coffee right. for 50 cents, you know, because that fits my – because that doesn't fit the personality. So they'll you are right. Artists fall into the artisan where they appreciate handcraft, the work, the uniqueness that goes into certain products and services.
Our community wouldn't be great without the community groups, nonprofits, and the artists, you know, that that make it what it is, and hopefully will continue to make it better.
Absolutely. That's the goal. It can always get better.
Can always get better, but it does. It takes a concentrated effort. We'd love to hear some feedback from anybody that's listening on what they'd like to do to be involved or how we can, you know, engage the community in a bigger way. Because, again, I was ignorant to a lot of the things that are now the most important things for me to pay attention to and the way that I structure my day or spend my dollars, right? And so if we're doing our job, if we're, you know, communicating that message effectively to our listeners.
You know, we want to hear from you guys. Reach out to us on golocalboom.com. Drop us a note in our contact form. You can also find us on Facebook. Drop us a message. We'd like to hear how you think artists, businesses, and our community can do better based on this conversation.
Carlos Contreras, thank you for your time this morning, sir.
You guys, thank you very much.
We're coming right back, 1050 KTBL. This is Go Local Boom. This is the best show on air, I gotta say. If I were a listener of this show, I would love the content that I experience. But I don't know, maybe I've got a biased opinion.
You're probably biased because it's our show and we talk all day on this thing. But I got to admit, too, I get really excited and motivated because I get to hear all these great businesses and organizations. And I get to hear these people like Carlos Contreras who are so dedicated to their community. I mean, he's like, I'm living here and I will die here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to find a way to make this place better despite all of you all listening right now who aren't participating as actively as you should be. And this is a call out.
This
all
is
of our
a
listeners,
challenge.
We love our listeners. We also want to motivate you guys to kind of participate and also take action in our community. Let's make this place better. We can do it together. Let's not wait for somebody to come in and solve things for us. We do it ourselves here.
I think for most people, when it comes to supporting local business and the sustainability of our community, most people just don't understand. Most people just don't know, you know, that it just takes a little bit more effort and maybe it takes a couple more cents, right? But for me to go buy a cup of coffee from a local brewer, it's a convenience factor. It's just a little bit of sloth on my part. I go through the drive-thru at Starbucks because I can't go through the drive-thru at, you know, at the
Humble
the,
Coffee.
At Humble like Coffee or the brew, right? Because they don't have the same access to you know, real estate, right? Those properties that McDonald's and Starbucks, they're not in the coffee and the food industry. They're in the real estate industry. Prime real estate signage on street corners, and they put them every five blocks as soon as they can find another location nearby. They're going to do it because people are driving through. It's a convenience factor. But you know what I find? I find that is a psychological perception that if I go through the drive-thru at Starbucks, I could have just as easily walked in the front door and I probably get out of there faster if I would have walked in the front door, because now everybody's using the drive-thru. There's 15 cars in the drive-thru, and it's still going to take me 10 or 15 minutes to get through.
Yeah. You know, it's just a quality of life thing too. You know, I think that people need to step back sometimes and say, well, it's my quality of life. You know, do I want a community, live in a community where there's one large super center in the middle that maybe I can sit my butt in a, you know, some sort of a device that carries me around the entire store and puts things in
gets
my
coffee
cart,
and my laundry
and my coffee and my laundry
and my groceries.
Yeah, do I want to live there? Or do I want the ability to get down from the car, go to a cool local spot, and you know, get introduced to somebody in my community that I want? And this is something that, you know, in the U.S. we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate that other people have worked really hard and put a lot of things on the line, so we can live a life today to where things are brought to me all from all over the world at my convenience. And you can't take yourself down from your car for 5 minutes to go and support a local vendor of something. We don't do it, and pretty soon we're going to end up with that large super center in the middle of the entire town you know, it has a W on it or a T on it or whatever.
Wages are less. Community engagement is less. The income, you know, most people don't realize that the entrepreneur, the small business, they've got to look their staff members in the eye and explain to them why they can't afford the raise this year or why they have to make cutbacks. That is a difficult thing to do. And so that drives an individual to work harder and want to succeed. All of the entrepreneurs that I know, they care about their staff like their family, because it's important for them to succeed and to see their, you know, to see their team succeed as well. These people have children to support. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't know, like I said, you know, you had a hand in helping me to understand a lot of this. And now we get to come in here, you know, every week and talk to local businesses who understand and know that that's their way of life, right? And like you said, artists are artisans. They prefer handcrafted things. They want to go, you know, to a place that roasts their own beans and procures them from the grower and produces them and so on. The products are better, right? Yep. The service is better most of the time.
Here's the other thing too. You don't like a local burger joint. How long do you think they're going to stay in business doing crappy burgers, right?
Yeah, if they don't do a good job.
Where the other hand, we got that big burger chain with an M on the front that's called Muck Something. And do you love their burgers? Are they the best burgers
you've
ever
had? No,
they're not.
I could put a McBurger next to a Blake's, and Blake's would win hands down every time.
Right. So you sometimes even get sick eating at some of these large chains, but they stay in business because they don't care. It's the convenience factor and price factors. So a local business doesn't have the same advantage. A local business has to do a decent product or service. Otherwise, they'll be out of business in no time.
That's absolutely true. Reputation is everything as well. Yep. And their people will remember a bad experience and talk about it 10 times more. I think there's a statistic out there that says a bad experience will stick around much longer than a good experience.
Go and have a latte at The Brew downtown. Go and have a latte at Espresso Fino on Gold Street, also downtown, just a block away from, and then go and compare that to just a regular latte at Starbucks. Go have a black cup of coffee at Starbucks. Go have a black cup of coffee at The Brew or Espresso Fino and tell me the difference. Tell me Starbucks is better. You know what Starbucks does really well? They add about 10 ingredients to your thing. They'll put the mochaccino, they'll put the frappa thing out on it.
And well, these local baristas can do the same thing. They can make mixed drinks as well. Yeah. They just don't have the same, you know, white chocolate mocha branding, you know. Yeah. But anybody, if they're good at what they do, they can mix you a drink. I do that all the time. I'll go in and I'm like, you know what? I like something spicy and sweet. Do you guys have something like a Mexican latte or Mexican mocha? They're like, nope, but I can make you one. Check this out. I got all these ingredients and I know how to put them together, you know, whatever you need. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we love about our local businesses. So not to dog all the large chains. You got to go and they offer some things and help out the community and nation and employ people. We get all that. But you do not want to live in a country or a community where there are no more local businesses. The only way to do that is to get out, support, find the local ones. You're not giving charity. Some of the best places you're going to visit in any community is a locally owned restaurant or service. Trust me. All over the world, you ask, what's a good local place? I don't want to know the large chain in that city.
And so if you feel the same way that we do, or if we've gotten through to you, check us out online, golocalboom.com, Albuquerque's only business directory that's free to any local business. Come on and listen to the radio show. Come talk about your business as well. Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL, brought to you by golocalboom.com. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week.